Would like to bring a message specifically to our fathers this morning. Desire your prayers that God's Spirit would be able to speak to us and would not be hindered by my own shortcomings as a father. Wish God's blessing to each father here and to our young men. You know, the potential of you being a father in a few short years is very real. I understand Father's Day in America was founded in 1910, and it only became a permanent national holiday in 1972. But God saw fathers long before that. Over 4,000 years ago, God looked down at Abraham and he said, "Here's a man I can communicate my plans with because of the kind of father he's going to be." In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, he said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Just a few thoughts from that verse. I love that verse, thinking about fathers and what God wants to see in them. God says, "I know him." Does God know you? Or maybe more importantly, what does God know about you? When Philip met Jesus, Jesus told him, "When you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And I don't know what was happening under the fig tree. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but Philip obviously connected with it and it meant something to him. But when God sees us, does he know us? When he sees us, what does he know about us? God is talking about us and says, "I know him," what kind of qualities is he thinking about? You know, Father's Day is a very commercialized holiday. And it reveals something about what people think about their fathers, I think. It's interesting to see all the advertisements and what all people think you should buy because it's Father's Day. But finally, what is the real father in you? What kind of father does God see you? When he says, "I know you"? God also said of Abraham, "He will command his children and his household after him." God looks to fathers to command their children, not because they are a great person, but because they're following God. A godly father wants his children to follow him because he is following God, and therefore he can command his children after him. Not only his children, but his household. I didn't look it up, but somewhere the scripture references that Abraham had 318 servants that were trained to fight, and they were obviously only a part of his household, but he had a large household that he was directing to follow after him. You know, a father's influence reaches far beyond just his own house. God knew Abraham had an example worthy to be followed. And I trust that the example we as fathers lead today is worthy to be followed as well. We lead by example so many times. He says, "They shall keep the way of the Lord." God recognized that Abraham's followers would keep the way of the Lord. Again, a father's influence reaches far beyond him. His character and his lifestyle enlighten and encourage others in their pursuit of God and encourages them to actions of justice and judgment. as mentioned here. A godly father needs to know where he stands, and then he can be a positive influence to the lives of those he comes in contact with. I believe he also appreciates, and Merle mentioned this already in his opening this morning, but he also appreciates the influence of his own father in his life. Many of us have the tremendous advantage of having fathers who taught us about God. And we need to recognize our own personal responsibility in passing that on to the next generation. The end of verse 19 there, God says that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God was confident in his being able to fulfill his promises to Abraham because of Abraham keeping his part of the promise. But God has a plan for each of us. And as we're faithful to him, he can fulfill that plan. Abraham became a father of many nations, both biologically and religiously. And his influence continues yet today. And may that, as our influence reaches out, you know, we're such a small part of God's world plan, of his plan of all time, but yet our small part can have a tremendous impact in the time in which we live and even beyond that. I entitled the sermon this morning, Fathers, PQR. Fathers in the possessive form, Fathers, apostrophe S, and the acronym PQR. Privilege, quest, and responsibility. Fathers, privilege, quest, and responsibility. The burden is that we as fathers would rise up as men of God, have done with lesser things, give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. William Merle penned those words many years ago, but I believe they're still very applicable today. You know, we have a challenge to rise to. I said PQR stands for privilege, quest, and responsibility, but sometimes we wish it would stand for peaceful, quiet rest. You know, we just want to sit back and we want to relax. But God's not done with us yet. That's coming in the future. But today, we have a responsibility that we need to live up to, and then we trust that the day will come when we can enjoy that peaceful, quiet rest, because God is done with us here. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Or the more modern English translation of that is, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. That is our calling as fathers this morning. The father's privilege. I'd like to just remind us this morning of the tremendous privilege we have. I was talking to someone about needing to preach today, and I said maybe you should, it was my sister, and I told her, I guess you should tell me what I preach about on Father's Day. And she said, well, you should know that. Well, sometimes when you're in the middle of something, it's hard to see it. But I challenge us to remember today the privilege that we have to be fathers. Embrace the joys of fatherhood. Rejoice in the privilege. We tend to get caught up in the day-to-day responsibilities of it, but it's a gift from God, and we do ourselves a favor to thank him for it every day, to rejoice in the privilege he has given us to be a father. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, there at the creation, God told man, I'm just going to turn there and read those verses. It says, God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You know, we not only have the opportunity to be in the image of our Creator, but we also have the opportunity to be an active part of the propagation of His earth. God wouldn't have had to use fathers and mothers to bring children into this earth. He wouldn't have had to make fathers, but God saw it was part of His perfect plan. He chose to use us. He chose us to give us this opportunity. He could have had another method to create men. You know, He wouldn't have had to make families, but He did. He saw us as being able to do that, and we rejoice in that privilege today to be able to be part of God's plan and in bringing new generations into this earth, to be part of His plan of creation and subduing the earth and also replenishing it. We rejoice in the fact that He made it possible for us to have children and to continue on. We have the privilege of being able to be an influence. Maybe this should go under the section of responsibility, because it's also a tremendous responsibility, but I think it's a privilege we have. Again, think of Abraham and the influence he had on the generations after him, even to today. I think it's a privilege we have to be able to have an influence upon the generations that follow us. May we use that privilege well. So again, rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that God has seen fit to make you a father, if He has. And as you move on in life, use that privilege to His glory. Letter Q, Father's Quest. A quest is a pursuit or a search. As a father, what is your pursuit? What is your quest? Turn to Psalm 128 with me. It's a very familiar psalm, but I'd like to just read it this morning and see a father's quest in that. Psalm 128, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. The father who fears the Lord, who has a reverence for God, and his reverence produces obedience. I think that should be every godly father's quest, is to fear the Lord and to reverence the Lord, both for his own spiritual good and for the good of his family. I believe it's a very foundational part of being a successful father, a successful godly father. Verse 2, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be. You know, we as men get a satisfaction about being able to put a good day's work in and being able to provide for a family. And we know that not every man has that privilege. Sometimes God intervenes and it's otherwise. But as a general rule, we have that privilege and we have that satisfaction to be able to work to provide for ourselves and our family. And it gives us a happiness to be able to do that. Granted, anything we have to give our families is because it's a divine gift from God. God only uses us as channels to bring that gift to our families. But God still uses us as a means to do that. And I believe He expects us to do that. In 1 Timothy 5:8, He says, if we don't do it, we're worse than an unbeliever. So it's important that we find that part of our quest in life is to provide for our families, and that we find a happiness and a joy in that, to be able to do that. It's not without its challenges. But may God give us the grace and strength as we endeavor to do our best. A godly father's quest reaches beyond himself. You know, us as men find ourselves incomplete. No, God's plan isn't that everyone gets married. We understand that, and he has a place for everyone to fill, but the average, or the for most men, it's his desire to have a family, to have a wife and to have children round about his table. He has a quest to reach beyond himself. To have a happy family, to have a fruitful family. I don't know what all the writer had in mind here. I don't know what an olive plant looks like. But there's potential there. There's potential of more fruitful olive trees. And that is a man's quest, a man's desire is to be fruitful, to be able to raise a happy family where his children can grow and develop and can then move on in their own life. Verse 4, a godly father's quest is to experience the blessing of the Lord in his home life. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Fear of God brings guidance. God directs us in his path, and as we follow him, he blesses us. Praise the Lord that we can have his blessing upon us. And then 5 and 6, I simply said it's a quest to see his family be part of the successful and growing kingdom of God. Thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. You know, we don't always, or fathers don't always get to see their children enjoy the extent of peace they wish they would. Perhaps they're affected by turmoil in this world, whatever it might be, by the effects of sin on this earth. But yet, as we send our families forth, may we be able to do it with God's blessing, that they too can be a part of God's successful and growing kingdom. One New Testament scripture yet, thinking about a godly father's quest in life, 1 Timothy chapter 6. I believe I noticed later that this was the verse that was used on the front of the bulletin today. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Maybe I'll just begin reading at verse 6 and read through verse 12. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, O father of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, for unto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. A godly father has a quest for things of God rather than money or fame. A godly father seeks contentment, again, for his own spiritual good, but also as an example to his family. Contentment brings peace to the home, to the family. Contentment brings great gain to his children. He also recognizes that the pursuit of riches will bring ruin to him and his family. We can see that by looking at history. We can read it by looking in God's Word, and we still struggle to find the balance today. To find the balance between providing for the needs of our family, giving them the comfortable living we want to give them, and yet taking time as a father in our home. May God grant us each wisdom as we endeavor to find that balance in our life. But again, the pursuit of riches and the pursuit of wealth and fame brings ruin to the family unit. A godly father's quest is righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. These are the things of eternal value, you know. Your business, your money, your house, your farm, whatever you want to put in there. Finally, you're going to have to leave it behind. And when you do leave it behind, so often it makes trouble for those left behind. Just recently was talking to somebody that various brothers come in the course of business, and they all are slamming the other brother. One of them told me there's 7 children and dad died, and they have to figure out how to divide the farm. Well, he left his farm behind. I'm afraid he left some other things behind too. Finally, our children are the only thing we can take along to heaven. They are the things of eternal value. So a godly man's quest is righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. It's the things he can pass on to his children. It's the only thing he can take along, the only thing with eternal value. A godly father also recognizes that his children witnessing a life in pursuit of godliness is a much greater consequence than other men witnessing his financial success. He puts forth effort into his children being able to witness a godly life and the consequences that come from that, rather than other men witnessing his financial success. Moving on to a godly father's responsibility, letter R. Number one, a godly father needs to have a personal relationship with God. We just read verse 12 there in 1 Timothy 6. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's something we need to take personally. We need an active relationship with God, the giver of our salvation. We need an active devotional and prayer life. We need to seek God's wisdom in leading our families. You know, again, we're only a tool in God's hand. We're only a small part of His kingdom. And we tend to get lost in the day-to-day decisions and the day-to-day challenges. But let's daily seek God's wisdom for guiding our families in a way that's right. Part of a father's personal relationship with God means a willingness to lay down things that would hinder us running in the race of life, in our pursuit of God. Part of our responsibility is that we lay things down that would hinder us, and you need to make that personal for yourself. I don't know what that is in your life. I need to make it personal for myself. But a personal relationship with God needs to take priority if we're going to pass on godly living to our families. Number two, it's a father's responsibility to teach his children the ways of God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just a few verses from this chapter. Again, often quoted verses. But it's a serious matter as we think about passing on the faith to our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Teaching our children the ways of God needs to begin with a pure heart of love for God. We teach by example. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. A godly father teaches his children by teaching and applying God's directives in all areas of life, and the Ten Commandments become a real thing. They become something practical. I believe God gives us opportunities to present His truth to our children. It becomes part of our training program. And it's not something we lay down at nighttime, and it's not something we forget about on holidays. It's something that has to be held before us continually, that we use these opportunities God is giving us to teach and train our children. Chapter 6, verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Dad, why do we do what we do? Why do you do that? Well, you better have an answer, Dad. Children need an answer to why we do what we do. I like how he says there in verse 25, it shall be for our righteousness. Here was a father explaining to his son, we have these commandments. God brought us out of Egypt. God delivered us from Egypt. He brought us out of Egypt so he could bring us into a land. And it's for our righteousness to keep those commandments. So again, that makes it very personal for us, that we need to know why we do what we do, why we stand for what we do. We need to have personal conviction if we're going to pass on these things that we value to our children. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Godly training provides a person with a lifetime foundation, or with a foundation to build his life on that will last him a lifetime. Yes, he's not always under his father's rule, but it gives him something to build on, something that he can make his own decisions upon. Point number 3. Part of father's responsibility is to nurture and admonish. And you will likely recognize that term as coming from Ephesians chapter 6. And perhaps this probably can't be separated from teaching your children the ways of God and teaching them the law of God. But I like to think as nurture and admonition, it has to do with education and training, and it also implicates disciplinary action. I believe it's taking the everyday experiences of life and the reaction from those experiences and using it to nurture and admonish your children. Nurture has the thought of feeding, helping them to grow from the experiences they have. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I see a response there. So your child faces a situation, and he reacts to that situation, and we as fathers have the opportunity how we approach that. It's either an opportunity to help them grow and to develop, and learn more about God, or we produce a response of anger by how we relate to that. I need to choose to use these opportunities to nurture rather than bring a response of anger. Colossians 3 verse 21 says, do not anger your children lest they be discouraged. You know, a continual inability to meet Father's criteria brings anger and discouragement. I think one of the things I find in myself is we need to be very careful what tone of voice we use as we relate to children. Our tone of voice says a lot, even if we're using the right words. We need to be careful that we use the correct tone of voice so we don't initiate a wrong response in them. Children need guidance. Children have energy. They need director. One writer wrote that the child supplies the power, but the parents have to do the steering. I thought that was well worded. I don't believe that writer's writings were necessarily biblical. I know they weren't, but that, I believe, is the way God created children. They supply the power, but the parents have to do the steering. And sometimes we allow ourselves to become frustrated because we can't let go of the steering wheel. And the energy's there that keeps it moving forward. May God give us the grace and wisdom to see the opportunities in being able to have a hold of that steering wheel and being able to steer it in the right direction. Point number four, our responsibility is to consider the legacy we are leaving for our children. If your son and your daughter continues on the path that you're on, where will they end up? And this can be very broad. And the other thing I want to say here is that I'm very thankful that God is not limited. And many times children can rise above their parents and how they relate to things and what they believe, and they can do things in a more godly way, and they can grow in that. I'm very grateful for that. But we also need to realize that the way we train our children will stick with them, whether it's the way we relate to things here on this earth. You know, what our parents thought of as a luxury becomes a necessity to us, or at least becomes normal. And that will continue. What kind of legacy are you leaving for your children? If I criticize authority, I better not expect my children to have much room for authority. I was thinking about that whole record we have there through the book of 1 and 2 Kings, and you know, one king after another, and this man became king and he walked in the ways of his father, and this man became king and he walked in the ways of his father, or he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, or you know, he was following somebody. If your child would go on record in the Bible, what would it say about him? He walked in the ways of his father. Would you be satisfied with that? Or more importantly, would God be satisfied with that? What kind of legacy are you leaving your children? And one final point, number five. The responsibility as fathers is to love and honor your children's mother. You relating to their mother is a great place to be an example in using common courtesies and teaching them how to respect and honor others. Take the opportunity to teach them how to say thank you and excuse me, and to show love and honor to others around them. Proverbs 31 verse 27 and 28, talking about the virtuous woman, it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. I believe a husband praising his wife goes a long way in the children calling her blessed. So as fathers this morning, love the privilege. Pursue the quest and by the grace of God, be faithful in the responsibility. May God grant each of you fathers wisdom, grace, and strength in the challenges you presently find yourself. You may kneel for prayer.